morning. It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, August 9th, 2019. We have, about 21 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have variable winds to northwest 5 knots in the afternoon. This seems to be a typo in this marine weather forecast. Anyway, wind waves from the northwest 1 foot at 4 seconds apart, northwest swells 2 feet at 8 seconds, and a chance of drizzle in the morning. And today, but things seem to be turning out pretty nice here in Astoria. The sun is out and those puffy clouds are in the sky, and I see blue sky out the window here looking out at a ship at anchor, I'm a bulk carrier at anchor off of Astoria here. Today we're going to be talking more about the river. What's happening right now is the Buoy 10 salmon fishery, which is from the Buoy 10 buoy near the mouth of the river, upriver to right off Astoria where we are. And there are people, lots and lots of boats, hundreds of small boats at different times of the day, out there fishing. And in addition to that are all the ships, all these, 20-something ships that are coming through today. And there's going to be interactions between those ships and those small boats. And we're going to be talking about safety and what to expect. And I'm going to be airing more from my interview with Columbia River bar pilot Captain Dan Jordan. He was in the studio recently. And we chatted all about this issue, which is just nerve-wracking for the pilots because you have these 800-foot-long ships moving through the channel. They're big, they're heavy, they have a lot of momentum. They can't stop on a dime, and they can't stop at all, really. And so in the midst of all these small boats, they're really concerned about safety. And so that's a lot of what this is about. Today we're going to be talking about ship horn signals on the river that you might hear whether you are on land or on a boat. Those ships have signals that they use for very specific reasons. And if they sound those horns, they're not just saying hi. So we'll talk about what that means. But first, let's take a look at who's coming and going on the river today. We have one inbound ship, the Mount Baker. She probably passed Astoria around 7 this morning on her way upriver to Portland. Could be carrying cement inbound, and she probably will arrive in Portland around 1 o'clock. In our Astoria anchorage, we have, which include the off the downtown waterfront and then upriver a little bit at the Rice Island anchorage. The Blue Bosphorus has been out there for a bit in the anchorage. She's now heading up to Kalama to pick up wheat. She will leave around 1 p.m. The Serenity is awaiting orders. And the PRT Cajo is also out there awaiting orders, as is the MSXT Athena, the Endurance, and the Frontier Leader. And at the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver, the Medi Newport and the Maria. So there are quite a few ships at anchor there. There's a very wide, naturally deep area for ships to anchor here off Astoria. That's kind of unusual. So the ships can swing at anchor, and it makes for a very interesting visual as the tide is changing. You see the ships swing on their anchor chains to go with the direction of the water in the river. So you can always tell what the tide is doing by looking out at those anchor ships. And there's usually always, it's pretty rare for us not to have any ships out there, although it does sometimes happen. It really has to do with the ebb and flow of ship traffic. But so in general, you know, if you see the bows of the ships pointing upriver, the tide is ebbing or going out. If you see the bows of the ships pointing toward the ocean, the tide is rising. And that's kind of a really, they're sort of like little tide veins instead of wind veins. In our outbounders, we have the iEvolution leaving Vancouver with wheat on board at about 3 a.m. She left and probably passing Astoria about 9 a.m. The Woohoo is leaving Kalama, that's a great name, with wheat on board at about 5 a.m. She could pass Astoria outbound around 10 a.m. The ANSAC Columbia, American Natural Soda Ash Corporation, is what ANSAC stands for. So she's a soda ash ship leaving the Port of Portland around 5 a.m. She could pass Astoria outbound around 11 a.m. The Themistocles is leaving Kalama with wheat on board. Probably heading out about 6:30. That'll put her past Astoria about 11:30. The Alam Setia is leaving Vancouver about 8 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 2 p.m. The Consolidator is leaving Kalama with wheat on board at about 12:30. That would put her past Astoria outbound around 5:30. The Global Discovery heading out of Longview with logs on board at about 2. Look for her past Astoria about 5:30. And the Global Symphony is also leaving around the same time from Longview with logs on board. They keep a couple miles separation between each other when they are on the river. So even though ships may say they're leaving at the same time from the same place, they're very careful about keeping enough space because nobody has brakes. Things can happen. Ships can't turn around in the channel. They're just too long. And so, in general, once a ship commits to going downriver, they pretty much have to keep going. So if somebody has a problem with engine trouble or any issues, ships need to have enough room to slow down and assess the situation. So a lot of room between those ships. The Candelager is leaving Portland. She's leaving about 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. The Glovis Cosmos is leaving Portland. She's a car carrier with Hyundais on board, probably heading out about 6 p.m., so maybe around midnight you might see her running lights going by. The Argent Hibiscus is leaving, I think, from Klatskanai, from port westward there. Could be ethanol, leaving around 10 p.m., so maybe around 12:30, a little after midnight, her heading past Astoria outbound. And the African Harrier is leaving Longview with wheat on board at about 10 p.m., so maybe 1:30 on Saturday morning you might see her go by. Well, today we're talking about the Buoy 10 fishery. I'm continuing my airing excerpts from my interview with Columbia River Bar pilot Captain Dan Jordan, who was in the studio recently, talking about safety on the river at a time when there are lots of vessels out there, most of them small fishing boats, recreational fishing boats, interacting with big ships in the channel. So we hear river sounds all the time when we're on land here. Those of us who are on land in Astoria near the river enough to hear them. And you might hear some horn signals out there. I did hear them the other day. What do they mean? So here's an excerpt from that interview. I've heard, and we've all heard, who are near the waterfront here, that sound of five blasts of the horn. So what does that mean for people who... It sounds really alarming, and it's meant to be, right?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. So a lot of times when we're coming into a group of fishing vessels, first of all, we might just give one long blast on the whistle just to get people to look our direction and see we're actually coming. That's another thing is, you know, ships are so big, it's hard to gauge how quickly they really are coming at you, and then all of a sudden they're right there. So we want people to look and see we're truly coming. Ideally, when they hear that, they start kind of wandering away from our path. But if they don't, if one of them's sitting right in front of us, then we sound five short blasts of the whistle, and that's been historically referred to as the danger signal. Now it's even morphed into the doubt signal. I have doubt of your intentions. But really what we want is when we sound five short, that means we're really concerned about you and really get out of the way.
So when you're looking at the boats, some boats might have a fish in a line or a net, and others might not. So when you're trying to size up how likely a boat is to move out of your way, what kind of things are you looking for?
Yeah, that's a good question. So as we're, again, coming into 100, 200 boats, there's lots of boats out there. If we blast the whistle, they don't have to quit fishing and run away. And just fish out of our path. So we see that they're actually moving out of our path. That's a comforting feeling instead of still fishing into our path. But the other thing I look for is the net sitting in the holder or not? And if it's in the holder, then they're very likely to keep on moving and get out of the way. But if somebody's got hold of that net, they've got a fish on. And it amazes me, you know, how close they'll get to a ship to land a fish.
And that was Columbia River Bar pilot Captain Dan Jordan. And he was talking about the Buoy 10 fishery and about people being really focused on their fishing and not necessarily paying attention to what's going on around them with other vessels. So this is sort of a plea for situational awareness, to look around you when you're out there on the water, to anticipate problems before they happen, to give yourself time to react, and above all, just understand the basic physics of it, that if you get in the way of a really big ship with a small boat, it probably is not going to end well. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.